You're listening to Boston Public Radio. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. My guest today is a lawyer. He writes a weekly column, an opinion column for CNN.com. He's appeared on MSNBC, PBS, and NBC's Rock Center. He's co-directed his first documentary, which is going to premiere later this month at the Austin Film Festival. All in all, he sounds like a pretty serious guy, except for one thing. He makes his living as a comedian, one that the Washington Post calls an angsty Arab Chris Rock. Dean Obadallah is bringing his unique brand of political humor to the area this weekend. He's got a show at the Regent Theater in Arlington. We're going to get into that in a little bit, but first let me welcome the self-acclaimed Dean of Comedy himself, Dean Obadallah. Welcome to the Boston Public Radio airwaves today.
Thanks for having me on, Edgar. Hey, and I have to be clear.
Go ahead.
I'm not a lawyer anymore. If I did any law now, it would be malpractice. I haven't practiced law in so long. I've been a comedian for so many years now. But I was, one time, a practicing attorney. I went to court and represented people, and I wasn't a great lawyer, but I was funny. So I said, you know, I have to leave this career and go with my strengths, which is being funny.
Excellent. Good choice. So, Dean, earlier this week, you wrote a piece for the Huffington Post, and you were offering some advice to the president and to his challenger, Mitt Romney, in advance of yesterday's debate. So I'm going to read you back a quote of your own writing here. You said, here's something you don't need a high-priced inside Washington Beltway political consultant to tell you. When you make people laugh, they tend to like you more. It creates a bond with people because your words have caused them to have a visceral reaction, laughter. So, my question to you, Dean, did you watch the debates last night?
Yes, of course. I love politics.
So, were either of these guys funny last night? Did they listen to you?
I think that, President Obama tried to start with a joke about his anniversary and celebrating with like 30 or 40 million people. It was a nice, subtle joke, not a big deal, not a big laugher. Romney, though, and it's painful for me to admit this, was funnier with his comeback saying, yeah, I'm sure you're happy celebrating your anniversary with me. And that got a better laugh because it was self-deprecating, too.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect kind of joke. When you tell a joke at your own expense, it makes you more likable. I mean, we're not talking about overboard and calling yourself an idiot or something when you're running for president. But slight self-deprecating jokes will really go a long way in building likability. And Mitt Romney clearly is a guy who needs that. So that joke helped him. And overall, the debate helped him.
We actually have some sound of both of those. So let's hear them. Let's hear those back-to-back. First, we're going to hear Obama, and then we're going to hear Mitt Romney, both kind of starting to try to kick things off with a joke last night. Here we go.
I just want to wish, sweetie, you happy anniversary and let you know that a year from now we will not be celebrating it in front of 40 million people.
And congratulations to you, Mr. President, on your anniversary. I'm sure this was the most romantic place you could imagine here with me. So I congratulations.
Yeah, you hear it in the crowd there. I mean, I think Romney got the better response.
He did. That was definitely a funnier joke. There's no way about it. But that was really the only joke. I mean, there was one zinger Romney tried later in the debate saying to the president, you know, you can have your own house and your own plane, but you can't have your own facts. He delivered it so quickly and so tentatively because I think he was afraid to actually deliver it. Things were going well from the debate and it could seem a little maybe off-putting. And it got almost no reaction from the press, from the audience there, and very little by the press as well. They sort of overlooked it, but I think it's his delivery. He's not really a funny guy, Mitt. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
President Obama, much more if you watch the White House correspondence, then President Obama can deliver a joke. He's got
totally
timing.
Can.
So, you know, I hope there'd be like a joke off. I hope they like the next debate, like, you know, he has to tell a joke near the end. That would be much more
fun.
We
need to get you to moderate the debate. I think we would have more jokes.
Let's start a Facebook page now.
Yes.
You know, we'd all
I'm
moderate
on it. We're
debate.
On it.
I'm ready.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
so here's the thing. Because I think this is interesting. We're talking about using humor to be able to connect with somebody, or maybe to be able to make them more open to hearing what you have to say, humanize you, whatever it is it is that you do. This is a big part of your work as a comedian. I mean, I think first and foremost, you're trying to be funny as any comedian is, but you have a little bit of a message here. I mean, you've got a unique background in that you're, I believe your father is from a small Palestinian village in the West Bank. You're Muslim.
Yes.
Your mother's parents are from Sicily. And you grew up in the Garden State, right? New Jersey, the great state of New Jersey.
So it was a melting pot.
It's a unique
it really
brew.
Was.
But
yes.
you draw on your background and your comedy heavily. Is that to some? I mean, do you have a mission, or are you just trying to be a funny guy and this is what you know?
Well, first and foremost, I want to be funny, and I want people to know that it's a comedy show, what I do. It's not Arab 101. It's not Muslim 101. I'm not trying to recruit people to Islam. I can assure you that. It's a comedy show. But in that, I aspire to try to have a message and try to you know, a little bit of me as an activist and try to use comedy to combat stereotypes and misconceptions about Arabs and Muslims. But also, that's not the only issues I deal with. I mean, I try to combat racism, you know, discrimination against undocumented workers, try to combat homophobia. To me, anytime there's a double standard, really what motivates me. So when it happens to be close to home about being Arab or Muslim, certainly that's a big part of my act. But the common through line is that I'm really against any kind of discrimination, any kind of double standards in this country. And I try to use comedy to make it funny and light and point out the absurdity sometimes of the arguments being furthered by those on generally the right, quite frankly. It's not people on the left pushing bigotry and Islamophobia and racism. You know, it's on the right. And unfortunately, they're out there. So we got to counter them.
Talking with Dean Obadallah, who's a comedian. He's a political comedian, commentator. He's going to be in town this weekend at the Regent Theater in Arlington. Your show is called Dean Obadallah for Vice President Comedy Tour.
Yes.
The Dean Obadallah for Vice President Comedy Tour. Why are you running for Vice President, Dean?
The question is, why would anyone want to be president? What a horrible job that is. Look at that. I'm serious. People sitting at home, you're on your radio, you're in the car, whatever. Would you want to be president of the United States? Terrible job. People hate you the day you come in half the country. Vice president, though. You get paid $230,000 a year. You do almost nothing, and you're treated like a celebrity. It's like being a Kardashian. And not even like Kim. Not even like Kim, like the other ones. We don't even know their names. That's what it's like. If Joe Biden's not making a gaffe, we don't even know where the guy is. He could take off for a year. We wouldn't even care. And also, honestly, presidents, people shoot at them. Nobody shoots at vice presidents. In fact, our vice presidents have shot other people. Remember Dick Cheney shot his friend in the face?
In the face.
And his friend apologized. And he's not the only one. 1804, Aaron Burr shot Alexander Hamilton
in a duel.
So it's one of the job requirements, shooting people. And I think I could do it. I'm half Sicilian. I think I could do that.
You've got it in your blood.
Right. Perhaps I can. So.
Very good. Very good. So this comedy tour, is your show more political than usual? Is it particularly political?
It's certainly a mix. I mean, there's going to be stuff about the election, about the debate last night. There's going to be things from the headlines about the candidates and the issues of the day. But it's also about, you know, some Islamophobia issues, Arab issues, and then some pop culture, just fun stuff about dating. I mean, I joke about my girlfriend who's actually from the Middle East. She's Arab from the Middle East. I got her on eBay, and she came with free shipping.
Very nice.
She's
very
Palestinian.
Nice.
Well, she came with PayPal.
The expensive items often come with free shipping now, which is really nice.
Well, it's really nice. Yeah, they shipped it right over. But you know, I talk about things that everyone can relate to, but some of it's going to be, if you like progressive politics, you're going to like me. If you're really conservative, you may or may not laugh. You'll probably be angry by the time the show's over and want to demand your money back. So if you're really conservative, but I welcome them as people. Don't get me wrong. I welcome everyone who likes comedy from the right or the left. I'm just saying if you're on the left, I think you're going to tend to like it a little bit more.
All right. Interesting take there. So this kind of, that kind of leads me into another project that you have in addition to your stand-up, is that you've got this film, which is going to premiere at the Austin Film Festival at the end of this month. This is a documentary.
Yes, October 19th. Yes.
It's you and a group of Muslim comedians, right? And you guys are kind of touring through the country, through the, you know, middle America, big
deep
cities
south.
And small towns, deep south.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sort of bringing your brand of comedy to these places. So we're going to see some comedy shows, I assume. But then you're also talking with people as well. Is that right? Just kind of documenting you and the community.
Right. It's me and my good friend and co-director, Nagin Farsad, who's a Persian Muslim American. And we brought five Muslim comedians to the South. Three of us made it back. So, you know, we're going to miss those other two. And we all made it back, actually. So there's five. We went to Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida. We did all free shows. This was the unique part of the tour. We went there to lose money because we wanted to meet people beyond our community. We just didn't want progressives and Muslims coming out. So we went, and then we also went to the far west, Arizona, Utah, and Idaho. We had great turnouts. A lot of very conservative people came out. We did a lot of street action meeting them. We set up a table in the streets of Georgia and Alabama, ask a Muslim a question. And we had some really good conversation with people. And it's in the film, and I'm hoping the questions others had for us will be, you know, the same questions other viewers in America were like, hey, I had that same question about Muslims. Why do they do this or why don't they do that? So we're trying to answer. We're using comedy in the shows. And we have some great people. We were fortunate who agreed to be in the film, like The Daily Show's Jon Stewart's in it, and Rachel Maddow's in it, and Soledad O'Brien, and David Cross, and Lewis Black, and Jeanine Garofalo, Congressman Ellison, Russell Simmons. So it's a real cross-section of comics, people, leaders from the community, really answering a lot of the hard questions, but having comedy as well. So it's the two of them joined together. And we hope it makes a difference. I hope it... we could put it on cable or even YouTube so everyone could see it for free. It's really an activist project.
What are some of the hard questions you were hearing, you were getting out there on the road?
The most common question we had, especially in the South, is why do we not denounce terrorism enough? Why do people not see Muslims in America denouncing radicals and terrorists? And we heard that over and over. And we thought, we're like, well, obviously we have nothing to do with these people. They're crazy terrorists. But for some Americans, even if we're talking about Muslims in other countries, they want to see us saying these people are hideous. They're not Muslims. That what they're doing has nothing to do with our faith. So we learned that even now, 11 years after 9/11, people were still asking for that. They had not seen a Muslim in America. They never met a Muslim, and they haven't seen a Muslim say, you know, 9/11's wrong, has nothing to do with our faith. These people are criminals and murderers, and there's no defense for it whatsoever. So that was a big theme we got from people, and we learned that. So a lot of time in the movie, you hear us say, make it clear that these terrorists do not speak for us. We hate them as much as they do. In fact, more because, you know, we have a backlash. We suffer here in America, the Muslim Americans, because of the sins of the worst people who happen to call themselves Muslims. We don't even know if they're Muslims or not, frankly. But it's a rallying cry for them to be used. So, you know, that's part of it. And you saw the protests, the anti-Muslim, the protests about the anti-Islam film. And,
yeah,
you know, that's some of the struggle, too. And I told you, you know, yesterday we talked about how, you know, like Indonesia, the most populous Muslim country in the world, 220 million people live there, 700 protested. They're like, Indonesia's erupting. Yet 50,000 Indonesians bought tickets to Lady Gaga for two months before that. So who defines the Muslims there more, the Lady Gaga people or the 700 in the street? So, you know, we have to deal against sensational journalism as well. And it's a challenge, but, you know, we're up to it. If there was more of us in the country, it would be easier. We just have to, I'm hoping to assign everybody a Muslim, like, a, you know, adopt a highway, like adopt a Muslim and everyone can get us for like a couple of days and ask us questions and become buddies at the end.
Take you around, buy you lunch. Sounds great.
We'll buy you lunch.
Very nice.
Waffle,
nice.
Whatever you want, hamburger, hot dogs, whatever you want.
Perfect. So I'm curious, are there places, you know, as a Muslim comedian and as somebody who's mm-hmm. taking that on and kind of has this mission in your back, are there places you can go with your comedy that other comedians can't, or are there places you can't go because of what you're doing with your comedy that other comedians go to?
Well, I have the freedom, and I think this is one of the adages of comedy. You can make fun of your own much more easily than others can make fun of you. So I have the freedom to make fun of Arab culture or Muslim culture. They're sort of intertwined, although Arab's ethnicity and Islam is a religion, obviously. But they're intertwined. And you can talk about jokes at our own expense, make fun of, you know, our parents having an accent, not speaking English well enough, to even political issues where you push hard on it. And from our point of view, people understand. You know, I think the limits are, I personally don't mock anybody's faith. It's not that, you know, I don't make fun of the Prophet Muhammad, nor do I make fun of Jesus Christ or Moses or Abraham. It's just, for me, not the kind of comedy I do, but I would defend someone's right to say anything about anyone. That's life in America. And that's one of the great things about this country is freedom of expression. But, I'm not really a dirty comic. I'm a pretty clean comic. But,
yeah,
you know, it's really besides that, it's whatever you want to talk about. And the audiences in our community have been really supportive of comedy, even making fun of our own culture. And I think a lot of times Americans don't see their fellow Muslim Americans laughing at themselves. And I think that's a great image. And if you want to see something unique, come to the show and you will see the audience, which is usually mixed, I'd say 50-50, of people laughing at themselves and having a really good time about it. And that's a great humanizing, bond-building experience.
There you go. And you can see that for yourself. The Dean Obadallah for Vice President Tour comes to Arlington, Massachusetts this Sunday, 7:30. You can see Dean along with Go Remy and Raj Sivaraman. More information about that, tickets, and et cetera, all that's available on our website, which is wgbhnews.org. Dean, thank you for taking time to be with us on Boston Public Radio.
Thanks for having me, Edgar. I really appreciate it.